Good evening. It's good to see everybody here tonight. We often sing a song at the end of service, the invitation song. We sing, "Are You Ready?" And "Are You Ready for the Judgment Day?" And that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight. I have a few points before that I want to make note of. We have to be ready for the Judgment Day, but in order to do that, we have to be ready to do certain things. We have to be willing to do certain things. If you would turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. The first point I wanted to make is we need to be ready to hear. There's many types of hearing, I guess. Well, maybe not many. There's a few types of hearing. I know I'm guilty of hearing selectively sometimes. I have my mom. She's getting dinner ready or something, and that reminds her that we're going to have some dirty dishes, so you need to unload the dishwasher and get ready to load the dishwasher. And all I hear is, "We're about to eat." And I hear the other part. I hear that I need to unload the dishwasher. She's telling me to do a chore, but that just goes through one ear and out the other, and I'm ready to eat. But that's selective hearing, and I hear it, but I don't listen to it. What we need to do as Christians is learn to hear and learn to listen so that we can know what we've heard and apply it to our lives. James 1, verse 19 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." So we are to be swift to hear. What are we to be swift to hear? Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, we are reading of Jesus being transfigured on the mountain. And we know that in verse 4, Peter answered Jesus, and he said, "Is it good for us to be here if you wish? Should we make tabernacles for Moses and you and Elijah?" And we know that through the past, they have listened to Moses, they have listened to him and Elijah, and of course, always listened to God. But we see in verse 5, let's read there, it says, "While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.'" So we're to hear Christ. This verse shows that God gives authority to Christ. Everything he says, we should listen to. Everything he says has significance and is important for us in our daily walks as Christians. Please turn to John chapter 6 and verse 63, and we can see in this verse why we are to listen to Christ. I mean, God giving Christ authority is enough incentive to listen to him anyway, but we read in John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus is talking to some of his disciples, and they hear what he has to say, and they're troubled by it. They're saying these sayings are hard. They're hard to understand. And Jesus tells them, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." Christ has the words of life, and that's important. We need to listen to that. We need to be ready to hear and take action in hearing and actually listen to what he has to say in the gospel. We're to hear the word in Luke chapter 11. If you would turn with me over there. Luke 11. The word has the power to save, and we are to listen to the word. He says, "Those who hear the word of God, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." So not only hear the word of God, but we're to keep it. Anybody can just hear and not take action. I think I see that talking to several people in the world, several friends maybe that I've met from school. And one thing's funny is that I was just talking the other day with someone, and they were talking about people arguing for homosexual rights, rights for gay marriage. And their argument was, "Well, no sin is greater than any other, so we should just accept them." Now, how much sense does that make? Sin is sin, and we shouldn't accept sin no matter what it is. and they're just wanting to listen to what the world has to say and acceptance of other people, and not that what they're accepting is sin. And just because other things that are sinful are being accepted, we shouldn't accept just some other sin. We're to hear the word. We're to be ready to preach the gospel. And that goes along with hearing. All these points kind of are connected. Will you please turn to Romans chapter 1? We're to be ready to preach the gospel. And how can we be ready to preach the gospel if we're not listening to what the gospel says? We're not listening to what Christ has to say. Romans chapter 1, verse 15 through 17 says, it's Paul talking, and he says, "So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." We are to be ready to preach the gospel. There's nothing shameful about the message of Christ. It's the power of God to save. It's the only thing we have that can truly save us, that can truly make us happy. And we should be ready to preach that gospel. In Romans 10, verse 14. A few chapters over in Romans 10, verse 14. We read of how the gospel has the power to save. But how can it save if it isn't preached? In Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, it says, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Like Justin said in his prayer, I forget the exact word he used, but we're all preachers. We're all ministers of God's word. We all have that responsibility. It's not just Dad on Sunday mornings and evenings and Wednesday nights standing before us, and that's his job, and we listen and we go home. We are to listen to that, and we are to hear it, and we are to go and preach it to others. And that's the only way that the borders of the kingdom will truly be spread. And our third point I want to make is we are to be ready to die. We know that everyone is appointed to die once. Death is inevitable. We can't escape it. We hear of people escaping death, but they might get lucky, or maybe it's just not ready for them to get time for them to go. But all of us will eventually die. In Hebrews 9, chapter 9, and verse 27, we read that it says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment." If you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. We know that why are men appointed to die once? We know from since the sin of Adam that all are appointed to die a physical death. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22 says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ we shall all be made alive." So we should be ready to die in the sense that we're right with God and that we have no fault, and our life is right, and we're doing everything we can to please Him. If you will, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8. This is Paul speaking to Timothy, of course, and he's kind of wrapping up his second letter and kind of showing him that he has a responsibility since Paul's done what he's been appointed to do, and he's about to leave. He says, "For I am ready, already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." In verse 7, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing." Paul's ready to die. He knew that he's done everything the Lord has given him to do. He's been faithful. He's preached the gospel. He's heard the gospel before. And he's obeyed it. So he's ready to die, and we should be able to say that we're ready to die also. We want to be able to say the same thing Paul says here in verse 8, that there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. We all need to be ready to die. We need to be ready to face the judgment. We need to be ready to say that we have fought that good fight and we have kept the faith. And finally, kind of a full circle ending, talking about all things are ready, come to the feast. Are you ready for the judgment day? We should be ready for the coming of Christ. And if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44. We know that we don't know when Christ will return. We read of he will return as a thief in the night, and who knows when that will be. Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44. Watch therefore, you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We wouldn't know when a thief is coming to steal all our stuff and break in. He's not going to call us up and tell us, we're going to be here at this time, so you better get ready. But what God has given us is the Word. He's given us the gospel and the Word of life that has the power to save. And we need to take advantage of that and read it and preach it to others and live it. And we need to be ready for that judgment day, that second coming of Christ. And also a point I want to get across is that no one knows when that day will be. We have many people that fail at trying to figure out when the apocalypse will be or the end of the world. And it's foolishness, because no one knows except the Father. It says in Mark 13, verse 32, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. And that can be a scary thing if you're not ready. It's very scary to know that Christ could come and you're not ready and that's it. You have no hope after he's come and you haven't obeyed the gospel. You haven't held true to your end of the deal. You haven't done what you need to do. God did his part. He sent his Son. He died for us. He was obedient to God's will. And all that's been done. Now all you need to do is hear, and you need to believe it. You need to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that he came to this earth and lived a life that was perfect. He was a perfect example unto us on how to live, and he died for us for our sins. If you have any need of assistance this evening in spiritual manners, we invite you to come forward. Don't leave here tonight without knowing that you're right with God. Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Can you truly say that? If you need to come forward and make note of any sin that you have in your life and ask for the prayers of the congregation, do so now while you still can. And also, if you haven't been baptized, if you haven't obeyed the Word, and you feel like you need to do that tonight, don't hesitate. Don't delay any longer. Please come forward while we stand and sing.